Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I am very happy to have two guests in the studio with me today. You know, in Atlanta, one of the benefits that we have being a larger healthcare community is that we have some national resources here that other communities do not. And with me today, I have some of those. So let me introduce our topic is going to be arthritis. And with me today, I have the Chief Operating Officer of the National Arthritis Foundation, Roberta Byram. And Roberta's organization is the largest nonprofit health agency in the United States, I think, right, Roberta?
That's focused on arthritis. That's exactly correct.
Yes, touching about 50 million lives in America. And I also have the president and CEO of the Arthritis Foundation, Dr. Jack Klippel. So welcome to both of you.
Pleased to be here.
Dr. Klippel has an extraordinary background in his specialty. He got his medical training at the University of Cincinnati, went on to do his internal medicine residency at Yale, and we'll hear a little bit about how you came to rheumatology, which he finished at University of California in San Diego. He has authored over 190 peer-reviewed and related publications, and we're thrilled that you're here.
My pleasure.
Very good. So, Roberta, I'd like to start with you, and we were talking before we came on air about how it's hard to find even just one person that does not have somebody touched by arthritis around them.
That's exactly right, Tanya. In fact, my first introduction to it was when I came aboard at the Arthritis Foundation. I called my parents to say, oh, I've got a new job. I'm starting at the Arthritis Foundation. And my mother says, well, I'm a member of the Arthritis Foundation. And that is when I learned that every single person personally knows someone who has arthritis. They either have it or they know someone who has it. And this is a disease that touches the lives of 50 million Americans. That's one in five American adults. And those are just people who've been diagnosed with the disease. I mean, that's a staggering number to think about. Within that 50 million are 300,000 children as well. Something that a lot of people don't realize is that children get arthritis too.
Today we're going to focus mostly on osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. We hope to have you back in the future with some pediatricians talking about juvenile arthritis because it is a problem, I know.
Exactly.
One of the things that struck me along the line of what you were saying was in the research, I was looking at some of the patient comments about living with this disease. And one of the ones that has stayed with me for the past week getting ready for the show is that I don't have one day that I can't think about the fact that I have arthritis, not one day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this disease is about. It's a chronic disease. And to think about living every day of your life in debilitating pain is a sentence that none of us want to face, and yet it is something that people with arthritis are facing every single day.
Right. And globally, I know since the world is shrinking and we're sharing with patients internationally, not just here in our backyard, what's working, what's not working, and what our experiences are, something like 1% of the world population it has arthritis in some form or fashion.
Yeah. In fact, I would suspect that number is even much larger than that.
Right. Well, I'd like to also have you speak to one thing. I was looking on your website yesterday, and I really appreciated your new initiative to debunk some of the myths around arthritis. And we'll let the folks know how they can look for themselves. But I saw three that really jumped out at me that I'd like for you to just all say the myth, and you kind of correct the myth. How about that? The first one was that this is an old person's disease.
That's right. So to start off, two-thirds of the people who have arthritis are under the age of 65. And think about that.
Well, that's young to me. I don't know about to you, but that's very young to me.
That's very young. That's exactly right.
Very good. And then climate. All that you will feel so much better if you just move where it's warmer.
Of course, we want everybody to move down here to Atlanta.
No, we don't. Oh, don't say that.
No, but there are a lot of factors that influence arthritis, but that is not one of the major factors.
Okay, and then the fact that a lot of people feel like because it is chronic and there is no cure, that nothing can be done. And so they get frustrated, they don't follow up, they just think it's something to live with.
And that is the biggest reason why we have a mission here, is because there are things that people can do to help prevent them from getting the disease, to make sure that if they do have the disease, what can they do to minimize the impact of the disease so that they can live as full a life as possible.
Right. We'll talk about some of those specifically. Dr. Klippel, let's come to you. Let's start with the most common form of arthritis, which is osteoarthritis. Is that correct? Affecting the most numbers of patients.
Yeah, that is correct, Tanya. So we estimate in this country alone there are 27 million people who have this disease we call osteoarthritis or OA. And what's surprising about that number is that it's related to aging, and we'll talk a little bit about that, is that the baby boomers are just now beginning to get into this time when they're going to begin to develop this disease. So this number is going to go from 27 million to somewhere north of 40 million in the next 15 years.
And I saw that you have a pretty aggressive goal that you've set for the organization between now and 2020, I think, to reduce by 20% the effects of that. You want to speak to that a little bit?
That's right. So we spent a long time thinking about if we could establish a goal. So you and Roberta talked a lot about in every day people with arthritis suffer from pain. What happens over the course of time is that they lose their ability to function. Things are taken away from them. They lose their ability to get dressed. They lose their ability to go up and down stairs. They lose their ability to walk. So we have set a goal of trying to, and it's currently estimated that roughly 21 million people with arthritis have functional limitations from the disease. So we have set a goal that by 2030, we want to reduce by 20% people who are actually disabled from arthritis. And disablement could mean anything from being in a wheelchair mm-hmm. to being unable to get dressed by themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge problem for people with arthritis.
It's also a huge workforce issue, because I read that I think arthritis is one of, if not the leading cause of disability in the workforce.
No, that's exactly right. So if you go any single day for people who are filing disability claims for work, the single most common reason is limitations from arthritis. So if you're in the business sector and you have a large workforce, just think of the implications of arthritis on your bottom line, right? But more importantly, the lives of people mm-hmm. who are part of your workforce.
Mm-hmm. And the output, the cost, the workforce itself, yeah, lots of ramifications of that. Well, let's go back to osteoarthritis and talk a little bit about what exactly that is technically and how it shows up for patients.
So osteoarthritis, we already commented, it's the most common form of arthritis. It's associated with aging, right? So that when people begin to get into their 40s or 50s, they start noticing joint pain. It more often than not will begin in the knees. And so just looking around this room, my guess would be that some of us, when we get up in the morning, our knees might hurt a little bit.
We're creaky? Are you telling me we're creaky? Cranky,
right.
And creaky maybe when we get up.
And most people ignore that. They just assume, well, I'm getting older and my knees are, you know, they're supposed to hurt when I'm 50 and then they're supposed to hurt when I'm 60 and I'm 70. Well, that's not true. That's the beginning in most people of what we call osteoarthritis. Has a very common pattern of joints that get involved. Hips, knees, neck, low back. So if you're over the age of 50 and you're starting to have pain or stiffness in any of those joints, there's a very good chance that you're starting to develop osteoarthritis.
And what is actually happening? We're breaking down cartilage. What's happening in there that we don't see actually happening but we feel?
You know, I wish I could tell you that we knew more about this disease. There's still so much that's not known. But what we do know is that the cartilage, which, if you will, is the cushion between two bones of a joint and the bones that are coming together to form a joint. So what happens in osteoarthritis is over time the cartilage gets lost, the bones themselves begin to get changes, And if that progresses, and in, sadly in many people it does progress, there's so much damage in the joint that you the person can fundamentally not use the joint, and is it extremely painful, mm-hmm. right? And what that means for this country is about every year 1 million people have to get their hips or knees replaced, largely because of this disease called osteoarthritis. So it's a huge problem, and what we feel strongly is once you start getting those stiffness or pain in those joints, it's a time to start taking seriously some of the things that we think you can do to help prevent the disease from progressing. Mm-hmm. It's a key objective for the Arthritis Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So there's lots of factors affecting arthritis, age being one. What are a few others?
So some of the more common ones, joint injury, mm-hmm. right? If you happen to be a person who's unfortunate enough to injure your joint, you're at a very high risk of developing osteoarthritis. And in fact, for somebody who's in their 20s and 30s who injures a knee skiing or playing baseball or soccer, they're at risk for developing osteoarthritis in their 30s. And we actually see a fair bit of that. So joint injury is one. Mm-hmm. Number two, being overweight, particularly being obese, increases your risk of developing osteoarthritis. And I think the third is if you come from a family that is known to have this disease. And we'll talk about genetics more with rheumatoid arthritis. But if your father or your mother happen to have osteoarthritis, you're at greater risk for developing this disease.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about diagnostics? So how do you confirm that this is what's happening with you? If you wake up with that creaky pain, it's not something else.
You know, it's interesting because I think that for all practical purposes, we talked about the risk factors in association with aging that I think that most physicians or even patients can probably make this diagnosis pretty accurately themselves, right? Mm-hmm. But there are many other forms of mm-hmm. arthritis. It's interesting because for a disease like rheumatoid arthritis, we have early diagnostics. For a disease like osteoarthritis, we do not have those at the moment. Right, that we're certain about the disease once there's actually joint damage. And, of course, that's not something that you and I want. That is, if we're having this disease, we'd like to be diagnosed as early as possible. So we have a big research effort to find what we call biomarkers.
We're going to talk about that a little later, yeah.
Right. That would be
great. That's exciting. It'll be exciting.
That's very exciting. So from day one, when you're starting to get pain in your knees, if we could develop tests, whether they're imaging tests or blood tests, that would help us be absolutely certain
earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and the reason that's important, and I think it's important that people understand this, how you approach treatment for arthritis very much depends on what kind of arthritis we're talking about, right? All of them are treated somewhat differently. But it's clearly a goal for the Arthritis Foundation to learn how to diagnose this disease much earlier.
Okay, very good. So we get diagnosed. Now, though, what can we do? So I know it depends on how early we get it, but in general, what are some types of treatments for different stages?
One is to control the pain, and there's lots of ways in which medications can be used to control the pain. But let me focus on two things that because if you're like me, given my druthers, I'd prefer not to take medications, right? I'd like to find other ways to maybe perhaps help myself. One is it's amazing what losing weight can do to reduce the pain and the progression of osteoarthritis. So what's commonly said in the average person who is overweight, losing 10 pounds cuts the pain of osteoarthritis in the knees in half.
No, I'm not surprised. I figured you would say something like a very small amount makes a pretty significant difference.
That's exactly right. So people need to myself is one who's sort of in the overweight category, so anything I can do to keep my weight under better control, I'm going to have a better chance of reducing the pain in my knees. The second thing that people sometimes find it difficult to grasp is the importance of staying active. The worst thing you can do when you get, for example, osteoarthritis in the knees is to become less active. Right? And of course, the body's sending you signals that it hurts to walk, right?
So we don't want to.
So that's exactly
right. We don't want to do it, which is exactly what we should be doing.
That's right. Exactly right. And so that's another big push for the Arthritis Foundation, for the Center for Disease Control, and in fact, the Surgeon General at this point has a whole new initiative around something as simple as walking, right? Walking 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, has enormous health benefits for reducing pain in a disease like osteoarthritis, controlling weight. So those are things that anybody who's beginning to develop symptoms of osteoarthritis really must begin to think about.
Mm-hmm. Along the nutrition vein, what about hydration? I know people get busy, they work, joints do better when they're well lubricated. Does that affect anything or not really?
Not really, although okay. If you're like me and you're paying attention to health apps, and Roberta's actually much better at this than me, all these health apps are reminding me that I need to drink. I'd have to look on my app as to how many glasses of water
Six to eight glasses of water,
just for general health.
And Cokes now. Don't count.
Now, is there – that brings up a good point, though. So many of us – I know like Lose It is an example of a weight loss app that you can customize to yourself. Are there some apps that you've worked with your patients that they do well, either with arthritis or nutrition? Or
I'm so glad you asked, because we, the Arthritis Foundation, is, like most people, still trying to learn about e-health.
Right. Mobile health, too.
That's right. So we have something called Track and React.
Okay.
And so we'd encourage everybody to go to the Arthritis Foundation website, type in Track and React. It's a way in which you're going to interface with technology around your arthritis, right? Arthritis is very personal. So Track and React is a way to personalize your arthritis and learn more about things you can do to sort of reduce your pain and reduce the disability.
On the prevention idea for osteoarthritis, is there anything in particular that we can do for joint protection?
Yeah, that is the right word, joint protection. Well, a couple things. One is, to the extent that you can, keeping your weight in a healthy range is a great way to protect your joints. Staying active and fit and not injuring your joint, right? Participating in sports where there's a high risk of injuring your joint is a risk factor. On the other hand, we think of some forms of exercise, walking, cycling, as very joint safe.
Stressing. Oh, okay. Swimming
Swimming would be another great exercise.
And paying attention to ergonomics as well, when you think about repetitive motion, as well as making sure that in terms of, you know, people who in a work environment that they've got that, you know, their chair and the way they've got their computers and everything set up, that all goes back to the issues of protecting your joints and making sure you have healthy joints as well.
I'm thinking even for spine. I'm thinking – I just straightened up sitting here in the studio, didn't you, Kevin? I just straightened everything up thinking of my spine. Okay. Well, that is a pretty good overview, I think, of osteoarthritis. Why don't we move on to rheumatoid arthritis and talk a little bit about what's going on with that different – and I'd like to kind of explore, too. I think that's more gender specific. We haven't brought that up yet, but I think more women are affected by RA than men.
So that's right, Tanya. So rheumatoid arthritis affects far fewer people in this country. We estimate that it's 1.3 million people. It affects people of all ages, including children, and we'll talk about that on another program. But you're right, the key age range for the onset of this disease is somewhere between the late teens, early 20s to the 30s or 40s, and it affects women more than men. It's a very serious disease.
Do we know why it affects more women than men?
We do not know why. There's a lot of research to try to understand that. You would think that would be a clue.
I'm thinking hormonal. Like, is it hormones or?
So let's talk a little bit about what we know, because we know a lot about this disease, and a lot of progress has been made in the treatment of this disease. Mm-hmm. So what happens in rheumatoid arthritis is a very different story from what happens in osteoarthritis. In rheumatoid arthritis, our immune systems, which are really designed to protect us, largely from infections. That's why we have immune systems. For reasons we don't understand, and it's a source of, it's a $64 million question, the immune system decides that it's going to attack and destroy joints.
Our own.
Our own joints. So, you know, we refer to that as an autoimmune, meaning self-immune. The immune system is attacking itself, attacking the body. So we call it rheumatoid arthritis is an example of what we call
an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And what that leads to is something called inflammation in the joint, and it tends to involve both sides of the body, affects some of the same joints that occur in osteoarthritis, knees particularly.
So it's a symmetrical
Very
effect.
Symmetrical. If it affects the right side of the body, it affects the left side of the body. Typically, we'll often first begin in either the hands, wrists, or feet. It can oftentimes begin very suddenly. Right, a patient will say, "I was well on Tuesday, and guess what happened on Wednesday?" Right, suddenly my hands swelled up, and I can't make a fist, and I am so stiff I can hardly move. And so, that's the main difference between the two. One, we have a lot of understanding as to what causes is responsible for the disease, and in osteoarthritis, we don't.
So, do you suspect some kind of trigger event in cases like that? We may not know what the trigger event is or have a marker for that yet, but the fact that there's no injury in it, you wake up that way.
Something causes this disease, obviously, and some brilliant person will figure that out.
Hopefully in our lifetime, in the very near future. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, we talked about the symptoms, maybe just a sudden onset, maybe gradual, maybe not. What else are these people experiencing and living with?
So most people have incredible fatigue. They're oftentimes not – they are so tired they physically cannot get out of bed. And in the course of a day, they'll oftentimes and think of the age – we talked about the age in which this is occurring. This is the prime of a woman's life. Oftentimes she's a new mother. She's got a career.
She's got to be running a
family, right? Last thing you need is a serious disease, which not only is causing excruciating pain, but leaves you with virtually no energy, none.
Mm-hmm.
So this has profound effects on people's lives.
Is this disease one in which over the course of dealing with it or living with it, there are remissions and flares, and it's a kind of an up and down kind of process, or is it all progressively going on?
Yeah, so I think the thing that we could say is it's chronic. Once you get this disease, the chance that it's going to go away on its own is about zero.
Right.
It does happen, but...
No cure yet.
There's no cure yet, although in contrast to osteoarthritis, the advances in our ability to treat this disease have been huge. That is, because we understand what the pathways which cause it, we have a biotechnology industry in the world that very quickly seized on this and created what we call biologic medicines. That those, in combined with drugs that we know work in this disease, can for most patients provide enormous relief. And for many lucky ones, they actually go into remission with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's very gratifying to see someone with a devastating serious illness get started on treatment and totally get their life back.
So medication treatment is one of the cornerstones for RA.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. One is the early recognition of this disease before joint damage occurs is very, very important. And unlike osteoarthritis, we actually have biomarkers that can be very helpful in identifying this disease.
And diagnostically, do you do any antibody testing since it's autoimmune?
Yeah, no, that's correct. So for people who have this disease, one of the first tests they get is something called a rheumatoid factor, right? It's a test for an antibody that occurs in 80% of people who have this disease. And so there's a marker. What's interesting is you can actually test for antibodies that occur long before the patient gets symptoms. So this is something called anti-CCP. I won't tell you what that means. It's very long words. what's fascinating is that antibody actually occurs years before people first get symptoms. Well, think of the excitement of that. Mm-hmm. You could see a day, particularly in a family, because this is a genetic disease like osteoarthritis, where you could begin to test people for the presence of anti-CCP, and presumably that's the start of rheumatoid arthritis, long before they ever have symptoms.
So back to prevention and the start of personalized medicine.
That's exactly right.
Very right. Okay. Roberta, we're going to swing around to you. And since you are a fabulous resource here for us in Atlanta and nationally, I'd like to specifically talk about the Arthritis Organization and hear some of what your focus is. It looks to me like you use your resources primarily for research, for policy, for education. Why don't you speak a little bit about
that?
That's
exactly right. And as Jack was talking about, specifically about osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, you know, research is the key to finding a cure. And it's critically important that we continue to be a funder of that very important activity. Policy is very important as well, and some of the examples of where that becomes very important have to do with access for patients. You know, we've talked about on this program the importance, particularly in rheumatoid arthritis, that once this disease starts, people need to get to a doctor, they need to get to a rheumatologist as quickly as possible, and they need to have access to the medications. There's a lot of information that, you know, getting this done within the first weeks of the disease, it can start, it can be that aggressive to be causing joint deformity that quickly. And so many of these medicines, particularly for rheumatoid arthritis, the biologics, they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And so people need to be able to have affordable access to these medications. They are life-changing medications. And so we have a lot of advocacy efforts around affordability, around access to care so that people can get to the doctors, so that people can get to the medications that they need, and to use whatever methods we can to try to influence public policy in that regard.
You know, actually, you're very well positioned as an organization because the whole meaningful use is driving us toward better population decisions for at-risk people. So
exactly.
The more we know and the more data we can get, then we can make better decisions in the future. I also read about AIR, Arthritis Internet Registry. Can you speak to that a little bit?
That's something that we're so excited about, and it goes to the heart of research. So the Arthritis Internet Registry, which is sponsored by the Arthritis Foundation, is a registry that we would ask folks who have got rheumatic diseases. And again, as we talked earlier, arthritis actually encompasses about 100 different diseases.
Disorders, yeah.
There's a long list of diseases there. And this is something that for people out there, it gives them the opportunity to be actively involved in promoting research. And the way you go about doing it is really very, you know, very painless for folks. It's a matter of going online, signing up, answering a lot of questions that go into issues about your disease, how you're being treated. It's about providing blood samples that go into this national database, and it's a data bank that has more than 10,000 different people's information there. And then that information is available for researchers to use. So it's a great way for people to be actively involved in research, and it's simply by providing detailed information and providing samples. There's no cost whatsoever to people to participate in that.
So they can self-register. Do you have any idea how long the registration process would take for an average patient?
It doesn't take long at all. It's really quite
simple.
5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, 15 minutes?
15
minutes. A lot of people get intimidated when they start having to fill out questionnaires. They don't know where the end is. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, for a very short commitment, they can get plugged into what's happening.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so let's kind of go back to both of you and talk about research, since that's the hope on the horizon. We've alluded to the fact of personalized medicine and biomarkers and things like that, but why don't you both speak to that a little bit about what are you most excited about that's coming your way?
So let me start. So this is a takeoff on personalized medicine. I think our understanding of the influence of genetics on arthritis and essentially all diseases is, to me, incredibly exciting. That is, we get diseases for reasons, and so our genes are sort of like dictating various diseases that we get. The other thing that I'm excited about that I think that we haven't paid enough attention to is the interface of the environment with our genetics. As we said, something causes rheumatoid arthritis. We know one clue, for example. We know that rheumatoid arthritis is linked to smoking, both smoking and secondhand smoke. We know that the prevalence of rheumatoid arthritis has decreased just in the last 10 years from 2.4 million to 1.3 million. We don't know that that's directly linked to perhaps people smoking less. But I think I'd like to personally see more investment made in the understanding of the environmental influences of diseases, of various forms of arthritis. That combined, to me, that combined with this revolution that's going on in genetics and translating that into personalized medicine will take us mm-hmm. to this full spectrum of true prevention mm-hmm. and better ways to actually manage disease once mm-hmm. it starts.
Mm-hmm. So we can get the idea of way earlier intervention, one, through our personal sequencing, DNA sequencing, and then also treatments tailored specifically to how we metabolize, how we absorb or react to things. So I think that's
For example, if you would take any medication for a disease like rheumatoid arthritis, what we don't understand is not everybody reacts the same way. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to know up front to pick the medicine that you're most likely to benefit from and is most likely to have no side effects associated with the medicine? That's the promise of personalized mm-hmm. medicine. And as we said earlier, I hope this happens in our lifetime.
Yeah. We were talking about research, and one of the things I also was looking at was pretty recently in the last couple of months, I think the Mayo Clinic did some research with gut bacteria kind of related. You don't normally think of arthritis and your GI tract being linked, but it looks like there's some interesting possibilities there. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, so what most people don't realize, and it's a little scary thought, is we actually have more creatures living on us than we have actual cells, whether they're in our
gut. It's not a pleasant thought, but it's a reality.
but it's a reality, okay? And what happens is that ordinarily they're living very happily. They aren't causing any problem, right? And that's probably a real clue to multiple diseases that those things that are living on us, whether in our gut or mouth or wherever they are, somehow might be causing problems. So there's a lot of interest in trying to understand this whole relationship that we have with what we call a normal flora that mm-hmm. exists within us. Mm-hmm. And for sure, we'd have to believe that's important in rheumatoid arthritis.
So jury's out, but we're looking kind of everywhere for solutions, for sure. I also noticed, Roberta, going through your organization, that you spend quite a bit of your budget on community services.
That's exactly right.
So if you could just tell us in categories of things, patients that have arthritis and the ones especially that we're trying to address that think, oh, there's nothing there for me, maybe earlier than later, what do you offer?
Yeah, so we have a wealth of resources available for people. So examples would be, we have a group of programs. They are evidence-based programs that we offer around the country, and they include, for example, land-based and water exercise programs. We have Tai Chi. We have evidence-based program that shows that Tai Chi, these are all programs that are shown to reduce the pain and increase your mobility. And so we offer programs like that. We have a wealth of information in terms of, we produce an award-winning magazine, Arthritis Today. It has a readership of over 4 million people and touches on information about how to live well with this disease, mm-hmm. whether it is nutrition information, exercise information. We provide a tremendous amount of information on drugs in terms of the, so we have a drug guide that's one of the more popular things that we provide. We have a wealth of different types of brochures that address different forms. We said there's more than 100 forms of arthritis. We have brochures that have disease-specific information, again, about talking about how to recognize the disease, how to manage it, how to live better with the disease. Those are just some of the things that roll, you know, right off the tip of my
tongue.
Are
most of these downloadable directly from the internet?
So our website is a wealth of information, www.arthritis.org. That's exactly correct.
Very good. So listeners, go visit it. That's how you access all those goodies and get more information. I also want to talk about when we try to look at the breadth and the scope of this. There may be lots of people, since it touches every one of us, we talked about that at the opening of the show, that may be interested in volunteering. So do you have a volunteer organization along with the Arthritis Foundation here in Atlanta?
Yes, we absolutely do. So we have local offices around the country, and we have a great need for volunteers who can help us to not only raise money, but be able to then deliver the mission, deliver the programs, get the word out about the importance of this disease in their communities.
And what are some of the challenges that you guys are dealing with? We've talked about the hope on the horizon. We've talked about what's happening on today. I'm sure just resource management, always fighting for the resources, whether it's for research or community or whatever you need to do. But is there any particular challenge that you're working on overcoming?
I'm going to just jump in and say that one of the biggest challenges is something that I hope we're helping with today, which is to help people understand how pervasive and important this disease is. Because we recognize that a lot of times when people talk about major health issues in this country, arthritis isn't rolling off people's tongues, and it should be rolling off.
I think we think cancer, heart disease,
diabetes.
That kind of diabetes, yeah, certainly the big three or the big four or five. But in terms of numbers of patients, this ranks right up there.
It does. And the comorbidity of this disease, when you start digging down there and you realize that more than half the people with diabetes have arthritis and they're being inactive because their arthritis is pains them,
right.
The interrelationships across the diseases is enormous.
Very good. Okay, any last tips that you guys have that you'd like to comment on before we close out the show, Roberta?
Not that I can think of, Jack.
Dr. Klippel?
No, I mean, we appreciate the opportunity. I think, as Roberta said, I think that one of the biggest challenges we have is that
awareness.
There's millions of people who live in pain every single day, and there's much that can be done, and we'd like to be there for those people.
Very good. So once again, to get in touch with the organization, it's www.arthritis.org. And is there a phone number that patients can call in?
We do have a 1-800 number, but I don't have it with me right here.
Okay. All right. So we'll put that on the website, the local number, so that they can reach you directly in your organization. That's it for our show. Thank you so much for both of you coming to increase the awareness and give us the details on this disease that touches everyone. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week, and thank you for listening.